Shalom and good evening, you most precious saints of God. This is Sheila Crawford, the Lord's servant of the Shofar Ministries Hour. Thanks for tuning in as we begin tonight with some important news for the body of Christ. Now, I realize that the news changes quickly, and by next week, a new scenario could be looming. But today, from the research I have been doing all this past weekend, is perhaps a shock to some. But here it is. President Obama in our Washington administration has for some time now been secretly negotiating with the terrorist Shiite group Hezbollah, who, as you know, is sponsored by Iran and is now a military ally with Syria's Assad's army, which is why Assad is now ahead in the civil war, thanks to Hezbollah. Obama's goal is to achieve a comprehensive peace agreement that would essentially put a feather in Obama's hat. For it would declare that not only will Iran put a halt to its increased uranium enrichment, but at the same time stop the civil war in Syria. So he gets a double bagger. Then all can say, hail to the chief. Now, these are all Shiite players. So it's even more remarkable that Saudi Arabia, who are strict Hashemite Sunnis and haters of Iran, have also been involved with these talks. Not sure of what kind of deal is being made, but it appears the Saudis are very interested. And actually, I guess they should be. Then, if some kind of agreement can be made between Israel and the Palestinians, who, by the way, have announced they are joining forces with their rival Hamas, we could have the markings of a Middle East peace treaty. Could have. Palestinian leader Abbas said the reason he was making nice with Hamas is because he knows the U.S. is making nice with Hezbollah, also a known terrorist group, so why shouldn't he join forces with Hamas so to have a bigger voice in all this chaotic mess? Anyway, next week we'll begin another important round of meetings with Iran in New York, this time with the G5 plus one. In case you don't know who that is, it's the United States, China, Britain, France, plus Germany, and of course, Russia. So what about Russia and the Ukraine? Well, Russia is also an ally with Iran, as you know, and will still be a participant in the talks next week. So I am sure the topic will come up. We'll just have to wait and see. But I would assume Putin will be offered a deal, like the eastern parts of Ukraine, possibly, to join the already annexed Crimea. Remember, these are all just players on a big chessboard of the global elite. And Putin will, in the end, do what they tell him. And that would be to either step it up to start a war, which is most likely, or compromise a deal just as long as it will look like he's the victor. Because that seems to be his MO right now. Also, you must pray for the Jewish mayor of the second largest city in the eastern Ukraine, who is fighting for his life after an attempted assassination yesterday by pro-Russian activists. Well, John Kerry got himself in some hot water over the weekend when speaking at what he thought was a closed-door meeting with influential world leaders. Kerry is heard telling his audience that at some point, Israel is just going to have to bite the bullet and accept even a less than optimal peace deal. Otherwise, and this is a quote, it winds up either being an apartheid state with second-class citizens, or it ends up being a state that destroys the capacity of Israel to even be a Jewish state. Wow. Kerry seems to have forgotten that Israel proper has over 1.5 million Arab citizens today that do enjoy full equality and democracy and have done so for like 66 years, and they even sit on the Knesset. How could he even suggest that outrageous thing about our great ally? And Kerry's remark ignores data demonstrating that Israel's Jews do not face a serious demographic threat. In fact, it has changed remarkably. Since 2003, the data shows a collapse in the Arab birth rate from 5 to 2 per family. At the same time, there is an astounding rise among the Jewish population in Israel to well over 3 children per family. The reason for this decreasing birth rate among the Palestinians are the same as anywhere else in the world. Excluding the Shiite countries in Saudi Arabia, of course, Arab women are able to have a higher quality of living and better education. Sunni women are applying for marriage licenses much later in life so they can first start a career. And they want to break with previous societal norms. They just don't want to only take care of children. So bottom line, Kerry is way off base and grasping diligently to anything to pressure Israel. But Palestinians are disappearing, and Jews are becoming much more of a formidable force. In reality, the millions of Arabs who could come under Israeli rule if a two-state solution is not reached assuredly would be better off. Just talk to any one of them one-on-one, as I have when I actually stayed for a week with a Sunni Muslim family in Israel on my last visit, who admitted to me that the Israeli Jewish state is a regional paradise for all its citizens, and that is the real truth. Okay, just a reminder, this Friday at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio, for Shofar Assembly, 7 p.m., and we'll be giving that address at halftime here. And remember, it's really you that keeps this program on the air. Won't you please consider donating any amount to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And, of course, we always appreciate your prayers. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and the World Wide Web. WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, which you can re-listen to later this week on shofarministries.net. And tonight, we continue in the 4th chapter of the book of Revelation, and it's a must read, especially for our generation. So let's take some notes so we can share with one another what we learned tonight. Good idea. First, let's open our program tonight with a prayer. Abba, Father, we bless you. Tonight, as we minister your gospel and share your word with our listeners, open our ears and hearts. And stop our enemies in their tracks. Those enemies we have that war against us in the supernatural, spiritual realm. And please, Adonai, encourage the discouraged people, especially those who have been getting closer to you recently. And we know the enemy likes to throw us off track with his tricks, especially when we get serious about getting closer to you. And we just ask you to encourage those people. And for one of our listeners, Lord, we lift them up to you, the listener with a brain aneurysm, and that we just ask that you can do something so it doesn't rupture before they can get this condition treated. And, of course, I want to include the mayor in Ukraine whose attempt was made on his life, which Sheila talked about in the news program. So in all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and shalom to you, too. And I'd like to begin to remind our listeners that your end-time biblical questions can be emailed to me or written to Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or you can even call but leave a detailed message. And the lines are open right now should you have any end-time question. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
I got it. Hey, Sheila, before we continue in chapter 4 of Revelation, the chapter you call the rapture chapter, I want to remind our listeners that they can listen to chapters 1, 2, and 3 and part 1 of chapter 4 on our webpage, shofarministries.net, so don't feel left out. Or you can order the CD of any of the programs for any donation of at least $10.
John, why not tell the listeners what we covered last week? I'm going to let you do that. Just please keep it brief.
Okay.
Can you do that just like in a nutshell?
Yes, I can do it in a nutshell. Sure. In Revelation 4, we saw that John the Revelator sees that immediately, I want to emphasize that word immediately, after the church age, at the voice of the trumpet, and that's the shofar, the gate to heaven is opened for the righteous to enter, and he sees God on the throne with 24 elders sitting around him and a sea of glass, a rainbow, seven lamps of fire that represents the church, which is now in heaven, and as well as the four living creatures. And that's, I think that's where we left off.
It is. And I also want to add to that the phrase we talked about, the gates are open, is actually an idiom for the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, and that's very fitting. And I'd say that's a clue.
That is a huge clue.
It's a clue.
clue. But John, no one knows the day or the hour.
That's right.
Why?
Because Rosh Hashanah can fall in either the, it's a two-day festival.
That's
they
it.
Don't know when that first sliver of the moon's going to show up.
That's right. Amen to that.
So thank God we've discovered that idiom. And as well, that phrase, the gates, I'm sorry, we also looked at heaven being like a giant temple, like it's referred to in Hebrews chapter 4.
Yes, and I thought that that was quite interesting. We did talk about that last night, that when we enter into the gates of heaven, that it is just a huge temple. On a, of course, huge, much larger scale.
Right.
But a very similar layout, because it seems to be that's how they're describing it, John, and then we're going to see Ezekiel and even Isaiah.
And David said in Psalm 23 that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's talking about the eternal house.
That's right.
So, yeah.
And eventually that's going to be brought down to earth. But, oh, that's another topic. So.
Okay, so we left off with the four living creatures, and they were kind of odd.
And don't forget about the sea of glass.
And the sea of glass.
And, of course, that's represented by the laver on earth in the temple.
That's right.
And we talked about that as well.
Yep. And
then now the next thing, we're going to talk about these odd creatures. But first we are going to take a caller. And this is a caller that has a question, and it says, are the elects in the Bible, Richard says, are they Christians or Jews? Very good question.
That is a good question.
It depends now what you're saying. The 144,000, are you on the line, Richard?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw that he had typed out the question, so I didn't think that you were on the line.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to tell me your question again so everyone can hear?
Well, several times in the Bible it says about the end times. It says if he didn't come when he comes, there would be no elect to be left. And some people think that's the church, and some people think that's the Jews.
Okay, here's the deal. In the Old Testament, the elect were the children of Israel, okay? They were the Jews and all Israelites. In the Old Testament, they were called the elect, and Isaiah 45 says that. Now, when we get to the New Testament, the elect are anyone that is a Christian, okay? So now we are the elect. After the rapture, the elect will then be the tribulation saints, and that's what Matthew 24:30, I believe, talks about. So there's, depending on the time, there's different groups of the elect. Now, the Christians are the elect. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, it does, and I thank you very much for the answer.
Well, I thank you for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you, Richard.
Bye.
Okay, so let's get on to the four living creatures around the throne. And these creatures were full of eyes in front and back. Now, we only know this because we're going to read the other visions that are in the Bible, because remember how we talked about last week that you can't just read one book of the Bible and have a think that you know everything about the throne or end times or anything. This is a scripture versus complements other scriptures.
Right, right.
Okay, so again, this can be a lengthy subject, and we're not going to be able to do that, of course, but I think what we're going to do is be able to give enough information for the average Christian to at least understand what's going on.
That's right. Okay.
Okay, and of course, what it really does is show us the detailed awesomeness of our God. He is so detailed, and you almost have to, when you see some of these things, stand back and just almost, you know, gasp for air. It's just so awesome.
It is. It is
amazing.
Especially when you see the context of these scriptures is not just the chapter they're in, but it's the whole Bible.
That's right.
From Genesis
to
Revelation.
And that's why he didn't put all the end times in the first three books, or all things about baptism in another book, or all things about speaking in tongues in another book. It's kind of migrates through the whole Word of God.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
It's that thread that weaves the whole tapestry
there
together.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Thread, I like that. Okay, so first off, as we said last week, Ezekiel 2 had a vision of heaven while he was in captivity in Babylon, and also like Daniel, who was in captivity in Babylon too. So both Ezekiel and Daniel had visions, Ezekiel of heaven, Daniel of many other things. But I think it's interesting because John also, the Revelator, was in captivity on the island of Patmos. So perhaps this can be a lesson to us in our very low times. God will often speak to us as he did with Ezekiel, Daniel, and John.
Well, that's a good observation.
I think.
And it's an encouraging one, too.
Well, it is, because it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will see us through all of them. So, if you're going through something, know that it's scriptural, and trust in the Lord no matter what.
That's
could
right.
be a test for you, and if you flunk your test, you probably have to go through it again. So, it just might as well pass it now. Trust him with all your heart, and go from there.
Amen, but, sister.
Anyway,
yeah.
Let's look at Ezekiel's vision, and then we'll go and look at John. So, could you read Ezekiel 1, and I think his vision starts around verse 4.
Okay. Very heavy-duty chapter in Ezekiel.
Yes.
Starts, I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also, from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward.
Well, they wouldn't have to turn because we learned from John's account that they had eyes in the back of their heads, too.
Oh, yeah. My second grade teacher said she had that, too. I remember her saying that. I don't think she was one of these creatures, though.
No, I don't think so.
Can I continue?
Verse 10, would you read that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle.
Okay. So, actually, when we put it all together with John's account, we see that John just saw one side, where Ezekiel sees all four sides, which gives us clues. Again, we put it together, and we see that these were creatures that had four sides to that, and four different faces. It's just amazing to me. But there's a reason for everything, and we're going to get into that as to why.
Cool.
But we must remember, as I've just said, Scripture complements other Scripture.
That's right.
Okay, now, John, if you could read John the Revelator's vision, and then we'll talk about the faces.
Okay, now there's this one's from an entirely different part of the Bible, the end of the Bible.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Now, this is, you know, we got up to about verse 6 last week.
Yeah.
So if you could read 6 to 11.
6 through 11? Okay. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back.
Mm-hmm.
The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf.
Or an ox.
Or an ox, I guess. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
Now, you're going to see that each group that's up in heaven say different praises to God. And this is the one that John saw them do.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually the four living creatures. They had this prayer. This is what they said all the time.
Okay, so these are the ones that Ezekiel were...
No, this is John.
Okay, but Ezekiel was describing the same
right.
creatures. But
No. When we get to him, he's going to tell you what the seraphim were saying. So again, it's different groups say different things.
But I didn't. We previously read in Ezekiel chapter 1 about the four creatures. Are these the same, do you think, that John's describing?
I do. It's just that Ezekiel gives a more intense description.
Okay.
Where John's only seeing one side.
Okay, but John's actually hearing them say something, and I don't think Ezekiel did.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, that's what I mean. You have to put it all together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, continue on with verse 10.
All right. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying...
Now, in a minute, you're going to see that they say something different in praise.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out, too, is the Bible says they cast their crowns before the throne. Do not think that they cannot pick them back up again. They just set them down while they're worshiping and praising God, which is probably a lot of taking off and putting back on. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they can't put them back on. It's not permanent.
I think you did describe what those crowns really were on one other show, but that's for another
Well, they're the reward crowns. They're Stephanos.
Stephanos. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Okay. So what kind of praise now did the 24 elders say?
Now, the 24 elders are saying a different song or
right.
praise, if you will. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, before we exegete the four faces, let me add that we know from Exodus 25:20 that the tabernacle in the wilderness, we call it the first traveling tabernacle, also had two golden cherubim with two very large wings stationed over the mercy seat that was his throne. In the wilderness.
That's right.
Okay. So, again, we can add that to everything that we're reading so far.
That complements everything we've read so far.
Exactly. And according to Isaiah 6, he had a vision of heaven, and he doesn't say how many there were, but he describes these seraphim who had six wings that were always there ready to do God's bidding. As in the case of when one of them flew to Isaiah to touch his lips with the hot coal.
Remember that?
Yep. It was purging his lips. And they had the a different prayer as well. So would you read the prayer of the seraphim?
Mm-hmm. They say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
So it's interesting that they all begin with holy, holy, holy. That could teach us a lesson.
When we
pray, we can do that.
Hmm.
And then, of course, it's different depending on what group is doing it. I just think it's really nice. and know these details.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, when you know these details.
Well, this is what we should stress, how important it is, really, to read all the accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And before we start to put things together, once you have all the accounts down, then the picture will fill in for you.
That's right. And this would be a good time to just mention out that so many times we hear these accounts of people that have died and gone to heaven. But if you don't hear any of this stuff that we're teaching in the Bible, if you don't hear them say that they saw any of this, I would question as to whether it was really legit. And as far as that little boy, bless his heart,
mm-hmm.
I think he just had a really vivid dream
mm-hmm.
because he saw his grandfather with wings. Well, we know that's not true. And he doesn't have a resurrected body yet because the resurrection hasn't taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out that the doctor said he never even flatlined.
Mm.
So, again, yeah. Bless his heart. A kid is really nice. But, you know, we have to have the truth here. And there's so many people that just don't even know their Bibles so that they think that this.
Well, that story,
I've
heard it before.
I mean, I'm glad that they're talking about heaven. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, it gets the subject of heaven.
But you start talking about people that knew and that they have wings now. That's kind of, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to argue that point. I'm just going to say that we need to be very discerning when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree. So, okay, these four different faces. What in the world could that mean? and this is most people ask. This is why did.
Yeah, why?
And why did God arrange them to be around him?
All the time.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, obviously, all faces point to Jesus because, of course, everything good does point to Jesus.
And everything in the Word usually does,
But let's take them apart and see how it points to Jesus, okay?
All right.
Okay, first one of the faces was the lion. Well, of course, we know that's the tribe of the royal line of Judah,
mm-hmm.
which Jesus was from. And then we have the ox.
Now, the ox carries our burdens.
That's right, and he's certainly our burden holder.
Mm-hmm.
And the ox is also the picture that's associated with the first letter of the alphabet called the Aleph.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another picture there.
Yeah, because all really, the Hebrew alphabet, all the pictures all the letters have a picture associated with them.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. So Jesus is the first and the last. So if Jesus' first initial is the Aleph, which is the picture of the ox,
mm-hmm.
and his last initial is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet called the Tav, which has the picture of a cross.
So
what do you think, John?
So Jesus is our burden holder who went to the cross.
There you go. That's his initials, the Aleph and the Tav,
mm-hmm.
the first and the last.
I agree.
Again, how fitting, right?
It is fitting.
And again, once more, shows God's details are in everything. That's a detail.
That is a detail.
Okay, so this is why John's gospel,
mm.
he calls him the Word, because Jesus is the first and last, and everything in between. He's all of it.
This is some pretty amazing stuff here.
I know. And doesn't Psalm 40, I think verse 7, say,
mm-hmm.
in the volume of the book is written of me, Jesus.
That's right, and that's
volume, every single letter.
Letter. Oh, that's confirmed again, too, in Hebrews.
In the New Testament.
Yep, in chapter 10, verse 7.
Oh, I'm glad you remembered that.
Hey, they're easy to remember because they're both verse
7. I know, they're both verse 7. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at the face of a man. Well, that's easy because it represents Jesus' humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And then we have the all-seeing eagle, and that would speak of his divinity. You know, because an eagle can even see behind his head without even turning it. And like an eagle, he catches us before we fall.
I like that. And like an eagle, too, when we're ready to fly, makes the nest uncomfortable so we get out and fly.
That's right. That's right. He does push us along.
Yes, he does.
So these four faces also surrounded the wilderness tabernacle. Did you know that?
Well, yeah.
Well, when we come back, we're going to explain that and how he had him even in the wilderness, these four faces.
That is cool.
Okay. We're going to play a really nice song from one of your favorite people.
Because
you sound like him in your song.
A little bit.
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Okay, when the man comes along, how's that say?
I said the man comes around is the title.
Comes around. Well, good.
We'll see who the man is.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can figure that out in the song.
Hold on, we'll be right back.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound. When the man comes around. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And Hell followed with him.
All right. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour.
Well, that was a fitting song, wasn't it?
It was, and I like that song. That never fails to get the hair, like he says, to raise on your arm.
That's right.
And theologically, it's mostly there.
That's right.
But
of course, the people couldn't hear you, but you were singing along with it, and you sounded great. You ought to just do one of those duets, you know, that they do nowadays. You know, okay. Since he's passed on. And anyway,
One of his one of his great songs in the last part of his life that he did, and I'm so glad he did it.
I am too.
And
bless his heart. I know I'm going to see him when we get up there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, do you have a question for Sheila? Would you like her to speak at your church or group? Well, we suggest that you just email her, Sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006. Please leave a detailed message, and please be sure you have your pastor check the website out.
That's right.
Before
that's
you get it out there.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
And your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air, as you probably know. And they're still tax deductible. So if you are being blessed by this program and learning from our teachings, please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
Yep, and we can do advertising for your business and company on this program as well.
Sure.
Please send your love offerings to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513. In Burton, Ohio, or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So, include your email or house address. Okay, all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net, and you can order recorded teachings as well. And remember, those lines are always open for your questions relating to tonight's topic. That number is 888-677-WORD. And remember, the first Friday of every month, be sure to come out to Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road or Route 306 in Chesterland. And we begin all of those meetings with a Messianic worship time, and it starts right at 7 p.m. So.
It does. We try to blow the shofar at 7 o'clock.
So mark that first Friday on your calendars.
All right. We want to continue with the four faces.
That's right. Oh, yeah. You were saying they turn up in another place.
They do.
They turn up
amazing.
All over.
Yes. Remember the very first tabernacle that God had
was the
one in the wilderness. It's called, you can call it the Camp of Israel. That's kind of a fitting title for it. But they would actually have these four faces, an ox, a man, an eagle, and a lion. How did they get it on there, John? Did they paint it or?
I
bet you embroidered or something.
Embroidered because yes. There were many crafts people that God put
That's
the
right.
skill and crafts ability
well,
to
sure,
make
they would have had
things.
To with the curtain and all that stuff.
And each tribe had its banner, right?
And it was called a banner or a standard. Sometimes it's called an ensign, but it would have the picture of either the ox, the eagle, the lion, or the man, and they would have these stabilized right around the middle of the camp or around the throne in the middle.
Interesting. Interesting.
And the tribe of Levi was around there as well, around the throne.
So these are actually flags, and you have...
Flags is a good word.
Flags.
Mm-hmm.
And one for each camp, and there's four of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they would be situated around
the Holy of Holies.
Holy of Holies.
Or the Tent of Meeting, or the
right.
or the Mishkan, I think it is
right.
in Hebrew. Yeah. Cool.
So actually, if you want to go onto our webpage, shofarministries.net, there should be a Camp of Israel picture there where you can see this. It's a little easier if you have a visual.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let me explain, too, that it's in Numbers 1 and 2, where it explains the numbered divisions, and that when they would break camp, it would be the forces of Judah, and they were called the forces of Judah, which represented, of course, the lion.
The lion. Mm-hmm.
And it would be the tribes Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And these three tribes were in the eastern part of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was time for them to move,
they
would go first.
They're the first ones with the lion on
the Judah.
Board. Lion. Okay, so there's one of the faces that we heard.
Right. So what's amazing is you see these three tribes on one side, three tribes on the other side, three tribes on the north side, and then three tribes on the west side. And when you're looking down from heaven, These were all aligned up so it looked like a cross. And what's even interesting is that he made sure that the three tribes that were on the east side, that was Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, actually had more people in it, 186,400, so it would be longer, which would look more like a cross from heaven. Where the other ones were always like around 108,000 or 150,000, but the one from the east was longer.
Well, there's more to that tribe.
And that's purposely done.
Maybe that's one of the reasons the numbers
are important.
Otherwise,
we would have never seen this.
No.
You know? Again, these details just keep coming up. So anyway, we see these four phases also around the throne where the Levites were also, because they were the ones that always worked.
And now we see these four faces on the flags, so the four flags that surround the Ark.
That's right.
Of the covenant, and that's really cool.
That's right. So we have the Judah forces first, and then it's followed by the forces of Reuben, which is also three tribes, Reuben, Simeon, and Gad.
And on their flag is a face of a man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be on the south side. And then the west side would be the camp of Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin.
And their flag had a face of the ox.
Of the ox.
Mm-hmm.
And last was the northern forces, and that would be the tribe of Dan, Naphtali,
and
Asher.
Mm-hmm.
So three tribes there.
And on their flag was the face of an eagle.
Right. So there's the four faces, and I think it's interesting is because when they broke camp, Judah would go first, then Reuben, then Ephraim, and then the tribe of Dan, and it just came to me. I thought it was interesting that it was the tribe of Dan that fell first to worship idols up in the north, remember?
Well, that's kind of interesting because the tribe of Dan is on the north side in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also, when they move, they're also the farthest away from the throne.
They're the last ones to leave.
Farthest away from the mercy seat.
Yeah. That's right.
So
they pull up the end.
Yes.
So I just think it's interesting that they would be a furthest away from the throne because they were the first to fall into idol.
Maybe that's some kind of a picture.
Is there a connection there?
The farther we get away from God, maybe the more likely we are to fall for some of the devil's tricks.
Possibly.
Possibly. I can see that happening.
But anyway, I just think it's remarkable how this camp actually looks like a cross that God would see from heaven.
Yeah, go to shofarministries.net and you'll see this picture and it'll become very clear to you what we're talking about.
And you know what else is interesting? That actually inside the tabernacle, you can also see an outline of a cross.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I think I know where you're going with this, because is that like the inside, the Holy of Holies?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it starts right at, you know,
well,
in the beginning.
If you look down at that, you would see at the bottom of your...
Well, you could even start with the brazen altar and then the laver. And then you go
the longest part.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then on each side would be the showbread and the candle.
Mm-hmm. The menorah. And the showbread.
And then you continue on and it's the altar of incense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
And you do have that cross. And I call it, it's even like the early letters... Hebrew letters, the letter Tav, was more like a cross.
It looked like a cross as well.
It looked more just like a cross, yeah.
That's right. And we won't get into this tonight, but in Ezekiel 8, it talks about how they were had a seal on them as well. It was kind of a picture of the Revelation thing. Mm. And it was a Tav, the cross. And we'll talk about that another time. It's in Ezekiel 8, but...
The oil that was put on the showbread, the olive oil?
Yeah.
In the form of a cross.
Oh, see, wow.
Isn't that weird?
It's amazing.
I mean, it all goes together.
Again, it's detail upon detail upon detail, and it's just awesome.
Oh, wow.
Well, anyway,
moving right along.
Let's look at the spiritual aspect of how we, according to 1 Corinthians 16:9, are a temple of God.
1 Corinthians 16:9, okay.
That's what it says.
Okay, we're a temple.
Our bodies are a temple.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and of course it stands to reason because the flesh would be the outer court, you know.
Yeah.
The soul would be our inner court, which is our mind, will, and emotions.
Yeah.
And then our spirit is the Holy of Holies.
Hmm. That's a picture.
So let me ask you a question, John. I know you know this is coming. Do we have the same standards or flags or banners or whatever you want to call it, or the same faces surrounding us as well if we are a temple?
Well, let me look. I don't see anything right now, but I have to say, yes, if I'm in the Word of God.
I see it.
You see it. Oh, I've got one here in front of me. You've got one in front of you. Yes, the answer is yes. If you are in the Word of God, every direction you turn, you'll see that.
Okay, well, how so?
I was hoping you would explain that to me, but I'm going to guess and say you could say the four Gospels.
You know it is the four Gospels. Of course, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mm-hmm. They represent the four faces around the throne.
How so?
Okay. Well, Matthew, I would believe, is a picture of the lion.
Lion.
Because he wrote more directly to the Jews and spoke often of the Jewish promised one being here. Matthew focuses more on his credentials as king, the regal lion, you know, his regalness.
Mm-hmm.
He even traces Jesus' genealogy through the royal tribe of Judah and the line of David.
That's,
so there you have the lion in the book of
there's
Matthew.
There's the face of the lion.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think Mark is?
Well, that might be the ox, right?
I believe so. It focuses more on his servanthood, Mark does,
yes,
because he was speaking more to the Romans, of course, who love to have servants.
And there's no genealogy.
There's no genealogy, as servants do not claim to have any in it to speak of.
Hmm.
And then we have Luke, who actually is a doctor, speaks of his humanity. Of course, doctors treat humans.
Because
you know.
Yeshua came as a man.
Amen. Mm-hmm. He did. And, of course, Luke addresses mostly the Greeks, who were very manly, you know.
Okay. I'm sure they were.
Yes.
But there's the face of the man. We got lion, ox, and man right here.
And that leaves John.
Yeah, and he's going to have to be the eagle, right?
That's right. He's
but
the mystical.
So?
He's the mystical one. All-seeing, you know, eagles see everything.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Focuses on Jesus' divinity. And everybody knows that John speaking to the bride, which is why when a new believer comes to the Lord, we always say read the book of John.
Hmm.
Because John is the picture of the church, which is why John the Revelator was taken up to heaven and shown that all that good things. Now, John focuses on being born again. He ends his gospel with the hope of Jesus' return. And now here's a real big clue.
Mm-hmm.
He never mentions lepers, demons, or the tribulation.
What, in the entire book of John?
No, never. And, of course, that's because we don't have to deal with sin, sickness. We do not have to deal with demons. We already know how to get rid of those. And, of course, we're not going to be in the tribulation, so why would he talk to us about it if we're the church?
It makes perfect sense to me.
And, of course, his first miracle was water turned into wine.
And we are the new wine.
There you go. So there you have it.
So we have the lion, ox, and man, and eagle's faces there in the books of Matthew, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark,
right,
Luke, and John. That's really cool.
It is cool. It's more than cool.
Yeah.
I love it. So I just want to close out tonight by just mentioning that in chapter 5, Jesus takes the scroll of judgment from God that outlines the tribulation in chapters 6 through 19. For he is the only one worthy, the Lamb whose scars are visible. And he gets ready to open the first seal of the scroll that begins the tribulation with the Antichrist riding in on a white horse, wearing a diadem crown and holding his bow. And that's it for tonight.
So come back and meet us again Tuesday night.
Oh, well, I sure hope that people learn tonight and will go back and re-listen to it so that they can replay it and chew on it and
All
that good stuff.
Well, listener, if there's a listener out there, and I'm sure there is, maybe you haven't made Yeshua Lord and King over your life. He's definitely going to be Lord and King over the whole earth, and that'll be soon. So why not do it now and receive him as your Savior? He's waiting for you to turn from your sin.
That's right.
We recommend it's kind of humbling, but get on your knees and tell him, admit that you do sin, or maybe you're recommitting your life to him right now.
Mm-hmm. That's a biggie.
That's a biggie. You know, a lot of us have been like that parable with the seeds, and we just sprouted up a little bit, but we didn't have good, it wasn't the ground. Well, now your ground's getting good because you're listening to this program.
There you go.
and now you can just say, Lord, forgive me. And he's there with open arms, and he does say, turn at his reproof, and he'll fill you with his spirit, and he will make his words known to you. He says that in Proverbs. So why don't you do that tonight? Because your soul can only go in two places, and you want it to go to the good place. You want to be with God.
That's right.
And then what do we do after we do that?
Well, we go and we fulfill the Great Commission. You do what Jesus told us to do. Just go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. For judgment is very near.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to love people.
That's right.
Hard to do these days, but you can do it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, John, could you say the Aaronic blessing from number 622 in his perfect language?
Be happy to. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
I just love the sound of that Hebrew language. Wow. And it says in English, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Don't you want that peace that passes all understanding? Don't you want to get through every single trial and tribulation with God at your side, pulling you through? And then at the end, you can give him the glory for it? Yes, you do.
Well, remember to join us on the first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, and next week, Tuesday at 8 p.m. Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
And that's Psalm 122:6. And when you're praying that, you're praying for the Lord to return.
That's right. That's really what you're praying for, because he's the only one that can bring peace.
That's right.
Shalom to next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.